soundingthealarm.com. Warning, the events and issues of this broadcast are real and eternal.
This is Trevor Davis sounding the alarm on April 11, 2015. As I meditate on the Word of God from day to day to day, I keep notes and I write down the things that are illuminated, just quickened by the Holy Spirit. You know, I make it very clear that we should all be seeking the Lord Jesus Christ, and sitting before Him, sitting at His feet, letting Him be our teacher. And the Holy Spirit has been sent as Jesus went and sits at the right hand of the Father after His death, burial, and resurrection, being seen by over 500 people. He sent us the Holy Spirit, who is a gift of God. And if anyone asks of God for the Holy Spirit, our Father is good and kind to give us of the Holy Spirit to those that obey Him. Holy Spirit teaches us. He's the Spirit of truth. He shows us the things that belong to Jesus. He reminds us of the things that He has said. The Holy Spirit is with us always. We're not orphans. We're not on our own. So we are called to submit to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. And as we do that, we are brought into the household of faith, the one body of Christ, one faith. There's one baptism, one Lord of all. And this is the Lord that's called us. He's called us out of the world. He's called us out of religion to serve Him in sincerity and truth. Well, this morning as I was awakening, the bottom line thing is these texts, what Jesus said about salt, were ringing in my spirit for about a half hour. And I'm going to read these texts to you because this really kind of crystallizes the various things that we'll talk about today, Lord willing. Mark 9:50 says, "Salt is good, but if the salt have lost his saltness, wherewith will you season it? Have salt in yourselves, and have peace one with another." Luke 14:34, "Salt is good, but if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be seasoned?" And one more text, Matthew 5:13, "You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted?" Now notice the remaining part of this text. "It is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men." What the Lord's telling His people, His disciples, or those that would call upon Him, He's saying that you're called to be distinct, like salt. And you're to have saltness and savor. But if you lose your saltness, or if you lose your savor, there's no benefit to the salt. It's not good for anything. And I've mentioned that before, that if you had salt in your cupboard and it lost its saltness or flavor, you would throw it away. You wouldn't even bother putting it in food that you're making. It's no use. You throw it away. And what the Lord also talks about, not only is it cast out when the salt has lost its saltness or its savor, but it's trodden under the foot of men. You see, because God called you to be light of the world, and if you become darkness, you're not in Him. If He's called you to be the salt of the earth, but you've become blended without salt, without savor, you're not of good to Him. You're not of good to the world, but you'll be trodden under foot of men. You will be beaten to a pulp. Sad part, and I've pondered on this so many times, is how people will be shocked, stunned, to find themselves not in eternal life at the last day, after the end of this age, when the master of the house arises and he shuts to the door, and the people that were religious, that knew about the Lord, even did good things in their own mind, but he doesn't know them. And he says, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. See, those are people that weren't in fellowship with the Lord. Those are people that had lost their salt. They had lost their savor. But they knew about the Lord. But that isn't how we're saved. Yeah, we're saved by grace through faith. But the Lord's called us to walk as dear children, pleasing to him. That reflects our faith in our heart. God's given us everything we need for our salvation. He's given us Jesus Christ, who is our all in all. But the admonitions of the Lord are commands. And he said, if you love me, then keep my commandments. He also said, you are my friends if you do what I say. You're fooling yourself if you think you can disobey the words of Jesus. How can you be a disciple and not be a follower? You can't. And in John 8, Jesus said, if you continue in my word, then you are my disciples indeed. I'm convinced that Luke chapter 13, the whole chapter, is the word of the Lord right now. It is rich. It is voluminous in information and clarification of things that you need to know. Let's go through Luke 13 right now. Jesus was talking, verse 1, he said, there was present at that season some that told him of the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. And Jesus answered, said unto them, suppose you that these Galileans were sinners above all the Galileans because they suffered such things? I tell you, nay, but except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. That's verse 3. Or those 18 upon whom the tower in Siloam fell and slew them, think ye that they were sinners above all men that dwelt in Jerusalem? Verse 5, I tell you, nay, but except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. Twice. The Lord's making it clear. This is a universal call to repentance. And in Acts chapter 17, verse 5, God commands all men everywhere to repent. In fact, you must repent from your dead works and have faith towards God. The first thing we repent of is our dead works. God's called us to works of faith, which means we've heard his voice and do what he says. That is what is pleasing to the Lord. God's not interested in us being like Saul, King Saul, that was just a rebel, rationalizing his disobedience and offering sacrifices to God and offerings. God wouldn't accept it. This is what religious people do, by the way. You know, God had Sabbaths and feast times, set times, or appointments with the people of God throughout history. And they would come from all over the regions and all over the world to worship God at these appointed times. But when the times came when they had lost their salt, lost their savor, became worldly, worshipped other gods, and didn't worship God, and kept the traditions, and kept the holidays, God was offended. He said that their children don't even know him. He said, like an ox and a donkey knows its master, but you don't know me, says the Lord in Isaiah chapter 1. God said, I'm going to read this from verse 4. Ah, sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a seed of evildoers, children that are corruptors. They have forsaken the Lord. They have provoked the Holy One of Israel unto anger. They are gone away backwards. Why would you stricken anymore? You will revolt more and more. The whole head is sick and the whole heart is faint. From the sole of the foot even unto the head, there's no soundness in it but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. They have not closed, neither bound up, neither mollified with ointment. Your country's desolate. Your cities are burned with fire. Your land, strangers devour it in your presence, and it is desolate and overthrown by strangers. That's interesting. And as the daughter of Zion is left as a cottage in a vineyard, as a lodge in a garden of cucumbers, as a besieged city, except the Lord of hosts had left unto us a very small remnant, we would have been as Sodom, and we would have been like Gomorrah. Hear the word of the Lord, you rulers of Sodom, give ear unto the law of your God, you people of Gomorrah. To what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices unto me, says the Lord? I'm full of the burnt offerings of rams and the fat of fed beasts, and I delight not in the blood of bullocks or of lambs or of he-goats. When you come to appear before me, who has required to set your hand to tread my courts? Bring no more vain oblations. Incense is an abomination unto me. The new moons and Sabbaths, the calling of assemblies, I cannot. Away with it. It's iniquity, even the solemn meeting. Your new moons and your appointed feasts, my soul hates. They're trouble unto me. I'm weary to bear them. When you spread forth your hands, I will hide my eyes from you. When you make many prayers, I will not hear. Your hands are full of blood. And the Lord said, wash, make clean, put away the evil of your doings from before my eyes. Stop doing evil. Learn to do well. Seek judgment. Relieve the oppressed. Judge the fatherless. Plead for the widow. See? God's not interested in rituals and rites and religious meetings. He's looking for your heart, for you to love him, to hear his voice. This is the way it's always been. And you're to have salt and savor and saltiness. But you can't be bland. You can't just be another idolater, but religious. God never accepted that, and he never will. Same thing was true in Amos. Woe unto you that desire the day of the Lord. To what end is it for you? The day of the Lord is darkness and not light. And if a man did flee from a lion and a bear met him, or went into a house and leaned his hand on the wall and a serpent bit him, shall not the day of the Lord be darkness and not light? Even very dark and no brightness in it? I despise your feast days. I will not smell in your solemn assemblies. Though you offer me burnt offerings and your meat offerings, I will not accept them. Neither will I regard the peace offerings of your fat beasts. Take away from me the noise of your songs, for I will not hear the melody of your viols. That's in Amos, chapter 5. God is sick of religion, sick of rituals that people trust in. They deceive their minds. Same thing was true in Jeremiah's day. They would be as adulterers, giving presents to their spouse. When they were adulterers, and they tried the same thing with God. Same thing with Ezekiel. God said, I'm broken with your whorish heart in Ezekiel 6. Going on with Luke chapter 13. He spake also this parable. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came and sought fruit thereon and found none. Then said he unto the dresser of his vineyard, behold, these 3 years I come seeking fruit on this fig tree and find none. Cut it down. Why cumber it the ground? And he answering said unto him, Lord, let it alone this year also till I have dug about it and dung it. And if it bear fruit, well, and if not, then after that you shall cut it down. I believe this is what's going on right now. If you read through the Bible, you're going to see a lot of examples of this. In Isaiah chapter 5, there's all kinds of allusions in the scriptures. There's parables about vineyards, parables about fruit. In John 15, talking about Jesus being the true vine and we're branches and we'll bear fruit for the glory of God the Father. But Matthew 3 with John the Baptist. Now the axe is laid to the tree, and every tree that doesn't bear fruit is hewn down and thrown into the fire. God's looking for fruit. He's not looking for wickedness. And in Isaiah 5, God said he had a garden, he had a vineyard. He had planted good seed, came to find good grapes, and he found horrible vine. And he had fenced it in and built a tower, and the Lord was outraged. There's parables about this over and over and over. God's looking for fruit. And if you're connected to the Lord, you will bear fruit. It's not hard for a tree to bear fruit. It comes naturally. And as we're in Christ, there will be fruit. There is fruit of the Holy Spirit. We can judge a tree by its fruit, just like we can tell a godly person is godly and a wicked man is wicked. Don't deceive yourself. He that sows to the flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. He that sows to the Spirit will reap eternal life. Clock is ticking. Verse 10, and he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath. And behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity 18 years, was bowed together and couldn't in no wise lift up herself. And when Jesus saw her, he called her to him and said unto her, woman, you're loose from your infirmity. And he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. Now listen to this, verse 14. And the ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation, because that Jesus had healed on the Sabbath day, and said unto the people, there are 6 days in which men ought to work, and them therefore come and be healed, and not on the Sabbath day. The Lord then answered him and said, you hypocrite! Does not each one of you on the Sabbath loose his ox or his ass from the stall and lead him away to watering? And ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has bound, lo, these 18 years, be loosed from the bond on the Sabbath day? And when he had said these things, all his adversaries were ashamed, and all the people rejoiced for all the glorious things that were done by him. Remember, I'm believing this chapter is the word of the Lord. It's the universal call to repentance. It's repeated by the Lord Jesus. And he shows the religious system that is contrary to his word. That Jesus explained in Matthew 20, verse 25, that the princes of the Gentiles exercise lordship and dominion over people, but it shall not be so among you, he said to his disciples. And clearly, it's the same word. The ruler of the synagogue is an archon, or an archi-synagogos, which is the same word as in Matthew 20, verse 25. See, they are elevated, exalted masters over the people, which is contrary to the manner of the kingdom of God, which is not visibly seen here or there, but is among people that are submitting to the lordship of Jesus Christ. That's in Luke 17, 20 through 23. But notice how the ruler of the synagogue, the master of the people, not God, not the Messiah, was angered at the act of God through Jesus Christ. And the same has always been so, and is same today. And they prefer the words of men and the doctrines of man. But Jesus calls them a hypocrite. And they were all ashamed. This is referred many times in the Bible. You are to study to show yourself as a workman unto God, as a workman that's not ashamed. And those that have faith on him, Jesus, the cornerstone, will not be ashamed or confounded. There's a shame of the nakedness when it does appear. You need to be clothed in Jesus Christ. For some reason, this is something very important. This word ashamed, because people will be absolutely ashamed for not being in proper stance with the Lord, for not having salt, for being bland and being thrown out and being tread upon. They are adversaries of the Lord. The Lord's making it clear. That's religion. They keep their Sabbath. You see, ladies and gentlemen? Then said he, this is Luke 13, 18, unto what is the kingdom of God like, and whereunto shall I resemble it? It is like a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and cast into his garden, and it grew and waxed a great tree, and the fowls of the air lodged in the branches of it. And again he said, whereunto shall I liken the kingdom of God? It's like leaven, which a woman took and hid in 3 measures of meal till the whole was leavened. That's Luke 13, 21. Ladies and gentlemen, the Lord's painting a picture what the kingdom of heaven is like. And it's not a good picture. It's saying it's growing and it's massive, but it's defiled It has fowls of the air lodging in the trees. There's tares and among the wheat. There's good fish and there's bad fish. And a woman, which we will talk about who she is, has taken leaven and hid it among the meal until the whole was leavened. That's what Jesus likened the kingdom of God. This is why we need Jesus Christ. He is unleavened, and we're called to be unleavened in Christ Jesus. This is 1 Corinthians 5, 6 through 8. As we abide in him, we'll bear fruit. As we obey his voice, we come out from the world. We have salt. We have savor. We have peace among each other and ourselves. We come out from idolatry. We have no other gods. And we worship God in spirit and in truth, for this is what God is looking for. He's not looking for rituals and Sabbaths and traditions and customs, and at the same time finding idolatry and worldliness and offense. God says, I'm sick of your songs. I can't handle it. Stop it. But the Lord loves to see us as sweet-smelling savor in Christ Jesus, for we are called to serve God acceptably through Jesus Christ by simple faith. Praise the Lord. This is Luke chapter 13 today. We're talking about the things of God, God's call for repentance, God's calling you out of religion, the rituals, the rites, all the customs of man, the words of man, the hypocrisy. This is all leaven. Hypocrisy is leaven. False teaching is leaven, and fornication is leaven. And the harlot, which is the woman that Jesus is talking about, it's the great whore. How do I know that? Because the Bible tells us that. In the book of Revelation, chapter 1, it says the revelation of Jesus Christ that God gave him, and he sent it and signified it by an angel to his servant John. And in Revelation 17 and 18, it talks about the great whore, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. It's a mystery. It's an ancient power. And all the kings of the world have committed fornication with her. And she sits upon seven mountains, on many waters. She's worldwide. She's defiled. And she's given the world a cup of the wrath and the wine of the wrath of her fornication. Do you see? This is the harlot. And she's mixed leaven, falsehood, error, deception to the world. And this is why you need to sit at the feet of Jesus. This is why you need to know his voice. This is why you need to be hearing and doing what he says. Because the world lieth in wickedness, and there are many antichrists. And antichrists have come, and they said they are the Christ. And the Lord said the kingdom of God does not come by observation. You won't see it. And even to his disciples, he said, you shall desire to see one of the days of the Son of Man, but you will not see it. He said it four times in Luke 17, 20 through 23. And they will say, lo, here, it's there. Don't go with them. Don't go following them. But if you do, you're deceived. Luke 13 is the word of the Lord. And he went through the cities and the villages, teaching and journeying towards Jerusalem. Then said one unto him, Lord, are there few that be saved? And he said unto them, strive to enter into at the strait gate. For many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able. We're talking about religious people. When once the master of the house has risen up and has shut to the door, and you begin to stand without, and to knock at the door, saying, Lord, Lord, open unto us. And he shall answer and say unto you, I know you not whence you are. Then shall you begin to say, we have eaten and drunk in your presence, and you have taught in our streets. But he shall say, I tell you, I know you not whence you are. Depart from me, all you workers of iniquity. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth, when you shall see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, and you yourselves thrust out. And they shall come from the east and from the west and from the north and from the south, and it shall sit down in the kingdom of God. And behold, there are those that are last which shall be first, and there are first which shall be last. Do you see, ladies and gentlemen? Verse 34. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, which killeth the prophets, and stones them that are sent unto you, how often would I have gathered your children together as a hen does gather her brood under her wings, and you would not. Behold, your house is left unto you desolate. And verily I say unto you, you shall not see me until the time come when you shall say, blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord. Right there is a contradiction to today's religious traditions and customs and teachings. In the religious world, we have an acceptance, an elevation, an exalting of apostate Israel and Judah that's not repented, that has not put their faith in Jesus. They worship the god Chiun and Remphan and Moloch, the star of their god. It's written in the book of Amos. It's written in the book of Acts. They have not repented and have put their faith and said, blessed are you, Jesus, that comes in the name of the Father. You are the Messiah. We have pierced you, but we repent. We have faith. There will be a very, very small remnant that will do that. But today we have people that have lost their salt, that have no saltiness, that have no savor, that are mixed in religion, do rituals and rites, but don't know the Lord. They go contrary to his teachings. They set up masters over them. They set up pastors and popes and local popes. They set up archons, the rulers of churches, men that despise the act of God and the word of God and the voice of God, and they censor the spirit of God. They forbid people to speak in his name. They delight not in the word of the Lord, but in the words of men and the traditions of men and the customs of men of religion. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that has no money, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come buy wine and milk without money, without price. Wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfies not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Incline your ear, and come unto me. Hear, and your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. Behold, I have given him for a witness to the people, and a leader, and a commander to the people. Behold, you shall call a nation that you know not, and nations that knew you not shall run unto you because of the Lord your God and for the Holy One of Israel, for he has glorified you. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the righteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. This is the word of the Lord from Isaiah 55. Ladies and gentlemen, the parables will come to pass. At the end of this age, at the end of the world, the Lord Jesus Christ shall come and send his angels, and they shall separate the wicked and those that do iniquity from the righteous, and they will bundle them up in bundles to be burned, and the righteous shall be put in a garner. Then shall the righteous shine in the kingdom of their Father, but the wicked shall be burned with unquenchable fire. They shall be ashamed, they shall weep, and gnash their teeth. This is the word of the Lord. Unless you all repent, you shall all perish, says the Lord.